blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, and the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name.
Very, 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 very good morning to each. Oh, I've got to sit down now. Oh, very good morning to all. Oh, God, that was energetic. I don't think I can do the rest of the service. That was it. That was me. And a very good morning to all those joining us online via our video stream. You're all very welcome this morning. Welcome to Sitting Bourne Baptist Church. Do you feel welcomed this morning in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
I want to ask you a question. When you were getting ready, now assuming that you all knew about the hour change and that you all changed your clocks. Fall back, spring forward. That's the old saying in America. Fall back, spring forward. So, did you have an expectation when you were for coming here this morning? Did you have hope in your heart that you were going to receive anything this morning? Did you have an expectation that you were going to meet with God when you came into his house this morning? And did you feel that you were going to meet with God in praise and worship this morning? Did you have an expectation that you would have an increase in understanding when the Holy Scriptures are expounded during the time of preaching this morning? Well, if the answer of these are yes, that's good, because I have a Bible verse that I want to share. But before I get to that, I'll just let you know that Nathan will be preaching to us the final sermon series on the series called The Playlist of Life. And this week he's going to go all the way back to the start, to the beginning of all things. And the title of his sermon is When a Man Loves a Woman. Have you noticed, now I'm going to change it because it's all been energetic, all been good, but I want to know, have you been tracking the news in the last week or two? Isn't it bleak? What bleak and sad news. I just wonder what the expectation of those in the world are in terms of remedy to all the things that we are seeing that is going on. So with that in mind, I want to read, and this is the whole service has kind of been built around this psalm. This is Psalm 62. And this is what King David talks about in terms of his expectation. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. Selah. So we read in that psalm that God is everything that we need. He is our rock, he is our salvation, he is our defense, our refuge, our strength, and indeed he is our life. So with all that in mind, let's come to a time of prayer. Oh Heavenly Father, we know that you are a good and loving God. And from heaven, there is no one that is not in your sight, that you care for each and every person. Lord, we know that there is a lot of pain in the world. But we know through Jesus Christ there is hope in the world and there is light in the world. Lord, many people out there will be trying to make sense of everything that's going on. And it's not just in one quarter or one part of the world, but many moving things that make us, if we are not careful, if we take our eyes off of you but for one moment, we might stray onto the path of despair. But we recognize here in this place, Lord, that you are our answer for everything that we need and that you offer hope to us all. So I pray this morning that as we look to the answers for all the bleakness in the world and for all the things that you do for us, all the goodness and all the love, Lord, we offer up this service to you, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's come to a time of praise and worship. And we're going to start in a batch of three songs. There must be more than this. This is a song that's just asking the question, is there more than this? And is there an answer? And where should we look? Let's stand and sing. There must be more than this. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Take a seat. I think I'm getting too old for this. Notices time. I've got some extra notices here. You may have noticed, you've all got a monthly magazine that's handed out at the door. On the first page, there's a section here about Gareth Cheeseman. I've just been asked by Adrian, his father, that there's a section on here about giving into the ministry for Gareth. So it's not a command, you're not pressured in to do it. But if you do want to give, the best thing probably to do, I mean, you can go direct to Gareth and have a chat, but go and see Adrian after the end of the service, and he'll have a discussion about that with you. That's the monthly magazine. Halloween's coming up. But the Love Church down the road are putting on an event called Hallelujah Night. So not Halloween night, Hallelujah Night. All the information's on here, and I'm going to put these next to the stack of these, all these boxes over there, and we're going to be praying for those in a moment. So that's Hallelujah Night from the Love Church. Before I invite Nathan to come and pray for the ministry and for the boxes, we're going to watch a short video about said ministry.
Being with the church today, I'm missing you all as I'm overwhelmed by the response to the shoeboxes this year. The Blythswood shoebox appeal within our Baptist church has been as successful, if not greater, than ever it was introduced a few years ago. Despite the situation in the world, wars, finances, and accessing items, the responses to this church have been wonderful. Thank you. There are so many items, lovingly knitted, chosen with care and love. Many of these have a person they do not know in their mind as they shop, wrap the boxes, and pack in lots of useful and loving items. I anticipated having less than last year, especially with the financial events in the country, and getting some clothing imported and available in the shops. And then there are the extras, hand-knitted and crocheted blankets and scarves, toiletries, occasional tools from men making up a box, baby items, and so on. In the past few weeks, we have been wrapping boxes in pretty paper, packing the chosen items, trying to squeeze in just one more. At the last count, we had 82 plus boxes waiting to begin their journey. There are many items that won't fit in the shoe boxes that we will be going to. This year, the Blythewood organisation in Medway have decided their boxes will go to the Ukraine. Other areas are following Blythewood's usual European distribution, but perhaps there is a need to not forget the Ukraine. Our boxes will be collected on Monday the 30th from the Hunt at the hub at the front of the church. I will be there. They will go to Medway to be checked over and then set off with volunteers. They go with our love, our trust that God is always with us, and prayers of thanksgiving. God bless you all.
Couldn't be here with us this morning, so that's why they made this little video for us. And with that, I'm going to invite Nathan come up to pray.
On behalf of Jackie and Rin, let me say a big, massive thank you to everyone for your contributions to putting these shoe boxes together. Thank you so much, not just this year, but over the years. This has been a blessing to children across Europe and around the world. And as Jackie said, this year all of the shoe boxes will be going to the Ukraine. And of course, we know exactly what's been going on in the Ukraine. So we're going to pray now that these shoe boxes will be a real tangible blessing to those children and families in the Ukraine. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, as we've just been singing, that Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Thank you that you care for each and every one of us in such a special and such a unique way. And you demonstrate your care for us. You don't just tell us that you care about us, but you show it tangibly. And for that we say thank you. But Lord, you've not just called us to receive that care, to receive that love, but you've also called us to show that love and to demonstrate that love to all those we meet. And we thank you that these shoe boxes can be a tangible sign of our love and your love for people's lives all around the world. And we thank you especially for those children, those families in the Ukraine whose lives have been completely, completely turned upside down for no fault of their own. Lord, we thank you that these shoe boxes, we pray that they will be, Lord, of comfort, and they will just warm someone's heart this Christmas, that they may know your love and they may know your peace. So, Father, we thank you. Just like Paul the Apostle, who was thankful for the gift that was sent to him through the church in Philippi, we thank you now, as a church here in Sittingbourne, that we can send these off with love and with our prayers. And we pray that they would be a real blessing to those children and families who will receive these gifts. Bless them now and keep them safe as they go en route to the Ukraine. We pray that nothing would hinder them, that they would have safe travel and safe passage, and to reach those who need them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian.
All about love and loving others, and loving ourselves as a fellowship, as a body, loving one another. And also, don't we love to do birthday books? Don't we love to ask the children if anyone any of the children have had a birthday in the last few days or the next few days coming? Well, do you know what? There could be hundreds of kids putting their hands up there. I can't see because the lights are so bright. So is there hundreds of kids putting their hands up there or not? No? So it's not the lights then. All right, okay. Well, we'll leave that for another time. Oh, are there any adults that have had a birthday in the last few days? On Wednesday. Wednesday. Yours is on? Yesterday. Do you know what? I feel a happy birthday song coming on, don't you? Happy birthday, Ian. Okay, it's time for the children to leave for their groups. If they'd like to leave now, and I'll pray for you. Well, we'll all join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for our children as they leave for their groups. Lord, I pray that they will be blessed, that they will learn, that they will increase in knowledge of you, and that they will have fun. Bless their time in their groups, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as the children leave, we're going to put our focus back on to the Lord just by sitting down and watching the video that's going to come up now. Amen. Isn't God our rock of ages? And with that, I'm going to invite David Cassie. He's going to come up and lead us in a time of prayer.
Let's come to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We've already been reminded that you are our provider. You provided each one of us here this morning with the health and the strength and the desire to come out to worship and to praise you. You've given us, you've provided for us in so many ways. You've provided, Lord, the technology and those that know how to use it to put this service online so that others can share together with us. You've provided finance for this church over many years, and you continue to do so. Father, we continue to say thank you for all your provision for us. And Father, in the coming days, we know that you will provide a youth leader for this church. We don't know who it is, but you do. And we pray for those who will have the responsibility of interviewing and bringing the one to us as a church. Father, we do pray for your provision, that you will continue to provide those who will serve you here as deacons as well. We pray, Lord, for those who have been nominated to stand at this next election. And pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to guide and direct each one of us in our voting. Father, we pray for each one who is unable to be with us this morning, that you will provide the health and the strength and your loving arms around them, wherever they are and whoever they are. Lord, there may be those who are awaiting a hospital appointment, those who are in hospital, those who are recuperating from hospital. Father, we just pray that you will presence yourself with them in a very real and special way this morning. And so we thank you for this church and this fellowship, and we ask that you'll continue to guide, lead and direct the leadership and all church members, that each one of us might be faithful to you in what you've called us to do. Continue to pray for Nathan and Anna. We pray, Lord, a blessing upon them in their service for you here. Pray for Nathan as he brings your word to us shortly, that you will just bless him and use him amongst us. Father, we wouldn't be selfish in our prayers. We would ask that you will look in mercy upon this world. We scarcely, Lord, know how to pray for some of these situations that are going on at this time. And we again think of Ukraine and Russia. We think of Israel and Palestine and what is going on there. Lord, if it breaks our heart, it must break yours. And Father, we just pray that you will in some wonderful way bring your peace on these war-torn areas. Father, we don't know how you can do it, but you are a God who, we've already been singing, provides all things. A God with whom nothing is impossible. And this morning, Lord, we just commit these situations to you now. We pray for leaders of these countries as well as for our own. And pray, Lord, that you will just raise up those who will trust you, those who will follow you, those who will lead in peace. Father, we ask all these things, and we leave them now at the foot of the cross, as we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David, for those considered and gentle prayers. Before Nathan comes to open up the word, we're going to sing two songs together. First one is going to be, O Lord My God, where we just focus back on the goodness of God and his love. And talking of love, the song after that will be, Oh Praise the Name. Really just focusing in on love and relationship, because if we do not have love in this world would be a very dark place, even darker than it is now. So let's stand as Ian starts us off with How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence that we feel in this place, for your presence that we feel in our hearts. In the words of the hymn writer, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and we know that it is the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us and fill us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. And without a doubt, we'll know that we've been revived when we shall leave this place. We thank you now for your presence and continue to be with us now as we look to your holy word. Would you anoint me afresh as your servant to make known the mystery of your gospel? And when it's all said and done, we want to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much, Brian and the worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning in worship. Just beautiful worship. We thank God for our musicians and our singers. Well, I want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning, and we are now concluding our playlist series. We've been looking at various songs and linking them to God's word, and we're closing out, as Brian has shared, and we're going right back to the beginning of creation. So I want to call your attention to Genesis chapter 2, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of the passage. I'm going to read from verse 18 and a few of the other verses, and then that will establish our context for today. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, and it reads, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." It is not good for the man. Now, sometimes when we quote this, we often say it's not good for man to be alone. It's a big difference. But the word of the Lord doesn't say it's not good for man, plural, to be alone, but it says it's not good for the man. Well, who was the man? Who was the man? Adam. Good. So it was not good for the man, Adam, to be alone. And he says, I will make a helper suitable for him. I'm going to make a helper that is suitable for him. Now we will see in the subsequent verses, Lord creates the animals and he brought them to the man, and Adam was responsible for naming the animals. But as good as the animals were, they were not really suitable for Adam to really satisfy all of his needs and a desire for companionship. So this is what happens. It says here in verse number, the close of 20, but for Adam no suitable helper was found. And in verse 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And this is what Adam had to say after meeting Eve for the first time. He says, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And our final verse, 25, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Amen. The song today that we're going to link this to is When a Man Loves a Woman. How many of you are familiar with that old classic? Old classic. Now, although the title of the song may seem on paper exclusive to a man's perspective, but by no means do I just want to relate this sermon today to the men in the house. But my mission this morning is to speak from both perspectives. Because the song could easily read in reverse, when a woman loves a man. And church, this is a topic that in a real sense is often overlooked in church. It's overlooked in sermons, overlooked in Bible studies, and perhaps even overlooked in conversations around the church. We seldom spend much time dealing and talking about the feelings between a man and a woman. And why is that? Why do you think the church has an almost filter screen applied when it comes to conversations about relationships? And even go a step further, sexual intimacy. And those fuzzy and warm feelings in our hearts for someone else. Well, maybe it's because we draw a line of demarcation that some may even suggest that the church is no place at all to talk about sex and romantic feelings. You talk about those things outside of the four walls of the church. You talk about those things outside of the sacred place of worship. Well, can I lovingly squash that idea this morning? Because if we don't speak about sex and relationships within the church, then we might as well go ahead and remove large sections of God's word from the Bible. And to that end this morning, I'm very blessed that we have our older young people with us today. They are staying in. And I believe that this message will be very relevant for them as well as for each and every one of us. Because I believe it's very important, church, that our youngsters hear about relationships, they hear about sexual intimacy, that they hear about these things in the church, because at the end of the day, they are hearing and talking about these issues each and every day at school, at college, at universities, and amongst their peer groups, amongst their friends. So I believe it's essential that they also hear about these topics that may be taboo to some of us in church. But it's important that we talk about these things in view of God's word. So if you are feeling a little bit embarrassed about this topic this morning, then my prayer is that by the end of this sermon, that you will see that it's not only natural, but it's very much a central theme throughout the contents of God's word. Such was the case for a young pastor who was ready to preach to his congregation about the topic of sex. But he was a very shy man, and he was quite concerned about raising the topic in his church, especially when it came to the idea and conversation of sex. And his purpose was to teach his congregation about how sex is important within a healthy marriage. However, he just couldn't bring himself to actually write the word sex. So instead, he decided to use the letter S in his written notes. And one morning, the pastor's wife came to him, and she saw him working away on his sermon. And she asked him, "What does the S in your sermon note stand for?" And the pastor was so nervous to say, even to his wife, that he nervously blurted out, "Sailing." "It's all about sailing." So the next Sunday, the wife, unfortunately, she had to visit her sick mother, so she missed the pastor's sermon that Sunday. And as the pastor started his sermon, he was pretty nervous. But as he preached the message, he got more and more comfortable talking about the topic of sex. And his congregation, they loved it. They were very inspired by the pastor's sermon. And they thought that he did a wonderful, wonderful job talking about the importance of sex within a marriage. But the next day, his wife ran into one of the congregants, and they told her, "What a remarkable job your husband did on Sunday." And the wife was baffled. She said, "That's a bit unexpected. He's only ever done it twice. And both times he went overboard." Well, as surprised as the pastor's wife may have been, the lyrics of our song before us this morning, the Percy Sledge classic, "When a man loves a woman, he doesn't mix his words, but he delves right to the heart of the matter concerning the feelings between a man and a woman, a woman and a man." And in his song, he talks about what happens when a man loves a woman. What happens when a woman has feelings for a man? And again, I want to emphasize, I don't want us just to look at this from the perspective of men, but this is also equally just as important for women, because the lyrics can apply both ways. And Percy goes on to say that when a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on anything else. He trade the whole world for the good thing that he's found. Wow. And then he goes on to say, if she is bad, he can't see it. She can do no wrong. And he'll turn his back on his friend, his best friend, if he puts her down. And oh, have some of us around this house been there before? Perhaps your parent said he or she was not the one. Your friends, they warned you about the person that you had feelings for. They said that he or she was not right for you, but it was as if they could not see the problem that they could see. It was as if they could see a reptile beast in front of you, but you could only see an angel sent from heaven. And Percy then goes on to say that when a man loves a woman, he will spend his very last dime trying to hold on to what he needs. He will even give up all of his comforts. He will sacrifice. He will sleep out in the rain if he has to, if she says that's the way it ought to be. He says, I give you everything I've got, trying to hold on to your precious love. And baby, baby, please don't treat me bad. And then here's the final section of the song. She or he can bring so much misery. If he or she is playing them for a fool, he or she would be the last to know. Because loving eyes can never see when a man loves a woman. So Percy Sledge speaks about what happens when a man loves a woman from a man's perspective. But what about God's word? What happens when a man or a woman expresses feelings for someone else? What does the Bible teach us? What instruction, what guidance can we glean from God's word concerning this matter? We've heard from Percy Sledge, but what does God have to say about this? Well, right here in the scene of our text this morning, between the very first marriage in the Bible, between Adam and Eve, there's a lot that we can learn from their connection and their relationship. There's a lot that we can glean about what needs to be in place before we fall deep into love, head over heels, in love with a man or a woman. So when a man loves a woman or a woman loves a man, what should happen? What preparations need to be in place? For those here this morning who are looking and seeking for a relationship, what should I do in preparation for this? For our young people here today who are saying, I'm ready. I feel ready for a boyfriend. I feel ready for a girlfriend. What should I do next about this? Well, number one, I want to leave with you, if we're looking for a relationship, if we're in a marriage currently, if we've come out of a marriage, number one, here's what I want to leave with you from the Word of God. Don't elevate the man or the woman above God. Can we say that together? Don't elevate the man or the woman. Yes. Now, Percy Sledge, he says that when a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on anything else. He'll go as far as to trade in the world for the good thing that he's found. Now, on paper, these lyrics may sound great. They may sound, sounds good, Percy. He's sacrificing. His mind is focused on the woman that he loves. And of course, that is great in a relationship. But can I encourage each of us here today? We should never get to the point when we are so totally and obsessively consumed with thoughts about the other person that we take our eyes off and also neglect our focus on the Lord. Now, although there's nothing wrong in daydreaming about the one that you love, there's nothing wrong about thinking about her, thinking about him, but the creation of Adam in the beginning, it teaches us that before Adam was united with Eve, first and foremost, Adam enjoyed, first and foremost, the relationship that he shared with God. He had a vertical relationship before he had a horizontal relationship. And that is so important. Because before we can entertain a healthy relationship with a man or a woman, first and foremost, we have to have a healthy relationship with our Creator. And friends, can I suggest that sometimes we run into difficulty with relationships here on earth because we focus all our attention on the horizontal relationship here on earth before establishing a firm and solid relationship with our Father in heaven. I love the fact that first, when Adam was created by God from the dust of the ground, He breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And Adam would go on to first, before he met Eve, he would go on to build a relationship with God first. He knew the voice of the Lord. He received instruction and guidance from the Lord. All before Eve came on the scene. And can I say to our young people here today, I've been there. When you're young and you're full of vigor and energy, and you may feel that you are ready, and I'm not here to bash you and say you're not ready, but can I encourage you here today that first and foremost, look not to the man or the woman down here, but look up towards God, your Creator, and get to know Him first. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him instill in you, just like He did for Adam, wisdom and knowledge, so that you can be ready for your Eve to come. Amen? Don't elevate the man or the woman above God. Remember, God loves us unconditionally, with or without someone in our lives. And sometimes we place so much value on human relationships, and that's good. God intends that for us, to enjoy human relationships. But first and foremost, we have to understand that we are a whole person, a complete person, first by ourselves, because we are created in the image of God. And we are not incomplete just because we don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or in a marriage currently. God loves us and He wants us to enjoy the relationship with Him before we are ready to meet someone else. But secondly this morning, don't allow love to make you foolish. Can we say that together? Don't allow love to make you foolish. Percy goes on to say, she can bring him much misery. And again, please don't misunderstand. He can bring the woman misery too. A lot of misery. He says, if she's playing him for a fool, he's the last one to know. Loving eyes can never see. Yes, when a man loves a woman. And in a real sense, Percy is absolutely right. Percy talks about the danger of love blinding our eyes, that we overlook the warning signs in a relationship. That the person that we like or love or think that we love can be taking us for a fool, but because we are so infatuated, we don't see the signs. Percy says, he can bring you so much misery. You're the last one to know because your loving eyes can never see. And this is so important, friends, because from the outset, You may feel as if you have met the one. You may feel that he or she is all that and a bag of crisps. He or she is out of this world. She's the one. He's the one. Now, that may be the case, but we have to be careful that we mistake infatuation with love. There's a big difference, because infatuation, it literally means an intense but short-lived passion or admiration for someone else. It's short-lived. And here are some of the signs that you may be infatuated with someone and it may not be love at first sight. Here's the first one. You are physically attracted to the person, but don't know them well on a personal level. And sometimes we run into difficulty because we're so caught up on a surface level. We like the way he or she looks physically, but we haven't taken the adequate time to get to know them on a more personal and a more deeper level. Because you may like the way someone looks from the outer appearance, but internally, you don't mix, you don't gel. You can't get on. You don't have the same desires. You don't have the same goals. You're not heading in the same direction. So you can't just unite with someone based only and solely on physical appearance. Here's another one. You ignore early signs of incompatibility. You ignore them because we're so mesmerized by their appearance or their status in life. They may be popular. They may have it going on, and we're so infatuated by that, that we lose sight on that more deeper level. And friends, we have to be careful with infatuation over the deeper signs of love. Here's another one. You fantasize about them despite not knowing them on a personal level. Because not all fantasies are the bona fide gospel truth. And friends, we have to be careful that we don't allow the sudden urges or passions of infatuation drive us into making foolish decisions. When I was in the early years of secondary school, back in the early 2000s, we didn't have smartphones as we do today. We didn't have these wonderful technological gadgets that we have today. And at that time, landlines were still much popular method of communication. And being a young school kid, I started talking to a young girl around year 7. And I was so excited. I was so excited that just being with her 5 or 6 hours a day, that was not enough. That I wanted to have further communication with her outside of the normal school operation hours. And of course, back then, we didn't have WhatsApp as our young people have today. We didn't have Instagram and Facebook and all of these great ways that we can keep in contact free of charge. But back then, if we wanted to talk to the person that you liked, you had to call them. But it was not free. And I'll never forget, I snuck and took my parents' house phone, landline phone, took it into my room. And when they weren't looking, I called my girlfriend. I know we were talking hour after hour, night after night. Totally losing track of time. And friends, can I tell you, when that bill arrived, I was in big, big trouble. But not only was I in big trouble because of the bill, But my infatuation at that time led me to being tired throughout the day in school, because I was up late at night, talking on the phone, when I should have been sleeping and resting and preparing for my education at school the next day. I was up at night talking about absolute nonsense. And friends, we have to be careful that we don't allow the excitement, and there's nothing wrong with that, it's natural, but we've got to be careful it doesn't drive us to make foolish decisions. Because if they are causing us to make decisions that will cause our relationship with God, our relationship with others, struggle and strain, then we have to ask ourselves the question, is this healthy? Are my feelings in a healthy place at the moment? We have to ask ourselves the question, is this healthy love, or is this just fantasy and infatuation? But in closing on this section, what I love about Adam is that before he met Eve and united with her, number one, he had a residence. He had a place to live. God placed him in the Garden of Eden. And not only did he have a residence, but he had a job. God says, I want you to look after the ground. Look after the garden. I'm giving you responsibilities, Adam. So he had a residence. He had responsibilities. He was responsible for naming the animals. So now he was in a good place to meet Eve. Because he had a residence, he had responsibilities, he had a job. And can I say to the young people around the house, we've got to get our priorities in check first. Mom, I love her. Dad, I love him. But do you have a job? Where are you going to live when you get married? Have you got your priorities in check? And not only did he have a residence, not only did he have responsibilities and a job, Adam also had parameters. God gave him some parameters. And this is where we have to be especially focused on. Because we have to ensure that our feelings and our desires, that they match up to the parameters that God has set in his word. And I may be old-fashioned, this may be old-fashioned now, especially in these days, but God has intended for us to enjoy the benefits and the fruits of a sexual relationship within the parameters of a healthy marriage. Now, I know in the world today, that's different. In the world, it's okay to have sexual intimacy and not be married. But in God's word, it teaches us that it's best enjoyed within the parameters of marriage. Here's another parameter. And again, I know that this is adversely different to our society today. But the Bible is explicit throughout the whole contents of Scripture that a marriage and a relationship is exclusive between a man and a woman. Now, that doesn't mean that we as a church bash those who may have a different opinion. It doesn't mean that we look down on those who may have a different view on this, because with loving kindness, the Bible says, have I drawn thee. We don't antagonize people and evangelize at the same time. We have to love people. We have to show the love of God for people. But at the same time, we have to respect the parameters that God has set in his word. And the parameters are between one man and a woman. But finally, and I'm going to close, We've had two don'ts, but I want to close with a positive. Do enjoy your relationships and also identify the Christ link in a relationship. Can we say that together? Do enjoy your relationships and identify the Christ link. Now, whether the relationship is romantic or platonic, we see throughout God's word that God has created us for companionship. Humans are best served when we live in community. And what I love about marriage is that through marriage, we don't just see the man and the woman come together for procreation and for intimacy and for companionship, but we also see in a marriage a wonderful example that the marriage between a man and a woman also speaks to another marriage between Christ and the church. And at home, I don't have time to read it today, but at home, I would love all of you to read Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You'll see it in your notes. At home, please read it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 33. And there you will see a wonderful link that Paul makes between an earthly marriage and also the marriage between Christ and his church. It's a wonderful union, a sacred union. And Adam's first encounter with Eve is a wonderful reminder of the joy between a man and a woman and a fruitful marriage and relationship. Look what Adam goes on to say. He says, when he meets Eve for the first time, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." And then the final verse, 25, says, "They were naked and they felt no shame." They were naked and they felt no shame. Can I close with this? For all of us who trust in the Lord Jesus, do you know what that means? It means that we are no longer naked and ashamed. Because our nakedness exposes our sins. It exposes the fact that before God, we have a problem. Because all of us were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. But because Christ loved the church so much, he sacrificed his life for her. And now Christ is married to the church. And he has committed to the church that he is going to sustain the church throughout the ages. That in the fullness of time, he will present to himself a church without spot or wrinkle. It will be a perfect union, and we will not be naked and ashamed. The question is, are you married to the one who has died for the church? Yes, I know we want the earthly relationships. Yes, I know those relationships are good. But first and foremost, do we know Jesus? And if you're here today and you've not yet embraced faith in the Lord Jesus, can I suggest lovingly, before you look for the earthly relationship, look up to heaven and invite the Lord into your life. Because the blessed communion and fellowship that you can have with Jesus far supersedes any earthly relationship. Yes, he wants to bless us with the earthly relationships too. But first and foremost, do we know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Amen. So, as we come to a time of prayer, perhaps for the young people here today, perhaps you are wondering, well, am I ready for a relationship? Is this the right time? Maybe there's an older person here who's saying, well, is it the right time for me to look again? Is it the right time for me to find someone now for companionship? I want to pray today as we close for you that just like Adam before he met Eve, I pray that each and every one of us will, number one, have clarity from heaven before we look for those relationships here on earth. The Lord wants to guide us. He wants to steer us in the right direction. We don't want to make foolish decisions because of infatuation. We want the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have ordained marriage. You have ordained the union between a man and a woman in your word. We thank you for the sanctity of marriage. We thank you also for the feelings that we can share for someone else. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with that feeling to be attracted to someone else. And we pray, Lord, that we would ensure that those attractions, that those feelings will be guided by you. That we would not allow those feelings to spiral out of control. That like Percy Sledge in the song, that we allow our feelings to take us in a direction that does not please you. Father, would you give us wisdom? Would you give us discernment? If we are courting, if we are dating, if we are seeking, if we are currently within a marriage, if we don't want to be married at this time, would you just give us wisdom and insight and steer us in the right direction? Because we want to, just like Adam, be prepared before we engage in the next step of relationships. We thank you, Lord, that you will guide us and we are not on our own. And Lord, I pray especially for those here today that are not married, who would like to be married, for those who are widowed and are missing loved ones. I pray especially that you would comfort them right now. Because thank you that you have first and foremost called us to have a relationship with you. And you promised in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will always be there. And we pray that we would always have that in our remembrance, that you are there. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As the worship team come back to close us in song, as the rain is pouring outside, we're going to sing our final song. And please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees and a chance to fellowship together. Amen.
Word on, you know, can be a very difficult topic to talk about, as Nathan mentioned at the beginning of his sermon. And it was nice that he, towards the end of his sermon, he talked about the relationship between the church and Christ. Now, you remember at the start of our service, I asked you, do you have an expectation? I just want to close with all of us standing and singing our last song. We should all have this expectation that there is a day that all creation's waited for and we're waiting for. And that's the day that Jesus comes back for his bride. Let's stand and sing. There is a day.
There is a day.
Amen. Well, do be stay behind for some tea and coffee, and if you would like to receive prayer, please go to the front of the church to my right into prayer corner. But as I close, let me just pray this prayer over us all. Heavenly Father, we have heard today, Lord, about the love of God and good relationship. Lord, and I know that you have called us into a good relationship in the church with one another. And you have set the parameters, the boundaries of relationship. And you have called us to love one another. So as we leave this place, Lord, keep it in our hearts and our minds to show that love as you have shown us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jehovah China, twice, only twice.